Welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country tonight or listening on the web while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are, why we are here, and what we may become than you thought possible. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we launch X Squared Radio. Tonight, Earth Explorers, this solar wind is blazing at 689.5 kilometers per second. The proton density is rather low at about 0.4 protons per cubic centimeter. No sunspots again today. Solar cycle number 24, where are you? Not much going on out there on the sun today. We don't even really have a solar wind stream flowing toward the Earth. It's a little bit of one, but not very much going on. If we have a aurora borealis tonight, it will not be coming from the sun, from what we can tell. Also, a binary asteroid, 2008 BT-18, is gliding past Earth this weekend, and astronomers have just discovered that it is a binary system. The sizes of the two components are 600 meters for the primary and a little greater than 200 meters for the secondary, says Lance Benner of JPL. The primary looks spheroidal, but we don't yet know about the shape of the secondary. Benner and others are using a giant radar telescope in Arecibo, Puerto Rico, and they're getting some fairly decent pictures of it. But it's not going to come close to Earth. It's about, suffice it to say, there's no chance of it colliding with Earth, but it's just interesting that it would be out there. I also wanted to let you know that the federal government took control of Pasadena-based IndyMac Bank on Friday in what regulators call the second-largest bank failure in U.S. history, citing a massive, get this, run on deposits. That's kind of interesting. Regulators shut its main branch 3 hours early, leaving customers stunned and upset. One woman leaned on the locked doors, pleading with an employee inside, "Please, please, I want to take out a portion." All she could do was read a two-page notice taped to the inside of the door. The takeover at IndyMac came amid rampant speculation that the federal government would also have to take over lenders Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Now, if you don't know who they are the buyers of mortgage-backed securities. When you get an FHA loan, the federal government underwrites it, but it's Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac that ultimately buy and hold on to that security, taking your payment. Anyway, these two together stand behind almost half of the nation's mortgage debt. IndyMac, which once employed 10,000, fell prey to a classic run on the bank, and regulators singled out Senator Charles E. Schumer, Democrat of New York, as having helped to fuel massive withdrawals. On June 26th, Schumer said in letters to the FDIC and the OTS and two other federal agencies that IndyMac might have serious problems with its loan holdings. My dear Earth Explorers, we have been telling you this for about a year. We even described the detailed process of the federal takeover of banking and money in our second book, The Arc of Millions of Years, The Harvest 2012 and the Harvest of the End Times. In this book, we talk about how the Watchers have been working and coaching the leaders of the world for more than 100 years this time around in their attempt to establish a world control. We told you to get out of debt and to keep all your assets as liquid as possible, especially using energy stocks instead of bank deposits for your wealth. And don't think that cash is as safe. It's not. The abolishment of paper money is the next step. Energy stocks are different in that they are real money backed by real value. Money is not backed by anything. Nothing. Read the book, people, and you can follow along and keep yourself in good financial shape. People that have all their money in debt or all their money in CDs in the bank, you're just playing a dangerous game. We were very clear in the book outlining how we will be literally signing over our liquidity to not the federal government, but whatever government it is that controls our government. We're not really sure who that is or how they're manipulating it, but there are three major steps in doing this. The first, of course, is to create economic chaos to the point where currencies have to be diluted down into single currencies. In other words, if you look at the EU, the European Union, they have one currency now called the euro. They no longer have German marks and all these different currencies. The only one to hang out is the British pound, but it's going to be absorbed in the euro as well. The euro has great value behind it because it's so diversified across many nations. But that being said, it's worked twice with the American dollar, and the American dollar is being kept weak by several aspects of the economy on purpose. If it gets too strong, it hurts the farmers. If it gets too weak, it hurts manufacturing. So this is the problem that we're having right now. Once that happens, once currencies are consolidated into smaller and smaller numbers of currencies, right now we have the three strongest currencies in the world, of course, are the dollar, the Chinese yuan, which is artificially kept that way by the government. They set the price. They don't let the yuan float to market value. But nevertheless, it is quite a strong currency in the world market. And the third is the euro. Now, all it's going to really take now is to do away with the paper forms of that money and go to strictly electronic forms of that money. Once that is done, that can be tied into the UPC system, which is every time you go to the grocery store and you scan that little thing in your keychain that gives you another 5% off, you know, that thing that gives you a discount on orange juice and tennis shoes, well, that also tracks your name, your address, and your buying habits, but it also lets the store know what's being bought and where, and the company, the stores actually sell that information back to their suppliers so they get demographic information and know where to do their advertising. In a sense, it has great value. In another sense, it has great power because now you can profile people quite easily. You know what kind of foods they buy. You know where they shop. For instance, you get a person who is getting non-smoker's life insurance, and yet on his UPC purchase record, it shows him buying a carton a week. You see how valuable this information can be. Okay. And it's used to profile other things. We also know the buying habits of certain racial groups, certain ethnic groups, and we can track those. And we also are able to, if you really want to get down to it, able to track the buying habits of liberals compared to conservatives. You wouldn't think that's important, but it is when you're in political power and you want to stay there. You want to know where they live, how much money they have, what they buy, and how they use their money to exercise their free speech. Well, if cash is taken off the street, now you might think you're from my parents' generation who says, oh, no, we will never give up our cash. I'm never going to, you know, go to straight credit card or straight debit card. But my generation and my kids' generation, I can tell you right now, cash doesn't mean very much to them when they can swipe and go at the Taco Bell, and they can buy gas, and they can rent cars and do whatever they have to do with a debit card. Hardly anybody I know carries large amounts of cash anymore. They just don't have to. Plus, as every woman might know, cash is completely biodegradable. That's right. Just drive down the road, open your window just a crack, and start slipping 20s out the crack of the window as you drive down the road. That's about how long cash lasts in your pocket. It's very difficult at the end of the day to figure out where in the world $150 went if you're carrying cash. If you have a debit card, you have a perfect record every single place that money was spent. It's a two-edged sword, though. And I'll tell you, at one time we said, well, gee, this will never sell. There's no way people will give up their cash. But I can tell you it will sell so easily that people will be clamoring for it before too long. I guarantee you this woman that was trying to get some cash out of the bank in Pasadena, leaning against the glass and crying because she couldn't take her grandkids to the movies that Saturday, is using her debit card all over town, and it's working. Because she's not getting cash out of the bank. She's getting cash out of the ATM, just a little bit at a time. So here's what it boils down to. To get rid of the cash, they're going to use three different ploys, just so that you can watch for this in the news. Now, you might want to write these down, free up one of those magnets on your refrigerator door, and stick it on there. Because when these things start happening, you very quietly, very slowly, need to move the way we're going to tell you to move in just a little bit. Okay? The first is, there will be an international counterfeit conspiracy. False money, counterfeit money, will be printed everywhere. And it will be such good money, and it'll be so widespread, that it will assault the integrity of the currency itself. Right now, there are so many counterfeit $100 bills in our system, it's difficult for the federal government to keep up with them. They're changing the face of the fives, the tens, the twenties, and it's very, very expensive to do. That will be one selling point. The second will be to end terrorism and drug traffic. Cash is the currency of terrorism. They don't use credit cards. You don't go down on the street and buy a bag of marijuana using your debit card. You use cash. So they take cash off the street, and it stops the flow of illegal weapons. It stops the flow of drugs. In South Africa, in Western states, they have an organization called ECOWAS, the Economic Council of West African States. This group, by force, took control of all the diamond mines in those countries. They did so because diamonds were being traded for weapons. They were called blood diamonds. What they did is they took control of the mines, and now they control the flow of currency to the diamond mines. So now they have been able to bring violence under control in those countries, and they did it by controlling the currency. And the currency was diamonds. Once you take the untraceable currency off the street, the flow of weapons and the flow of drugs slows to a halt. That will be number two. Number three will be the cost of printing and maintaining the money. The federal government will begin releasing reports saying that it actually costs over $1 a year to maintain a single printed bill. That means 100% cost. $1 to maintain a dollar. $1 to maintain a $5 bill. $1 to maintain a $20 bill. $1 to maintain a $100 bill. The very least is a 1% overhead cost. That is unthinkably expensive. That's 1% minimum taken right out of the value of the currency. So, counterfeiting, the flow of drugs and terrorism, and the cost of maintaining the bills. What will happen is the federal government will come out and say, we have a plan to reduce the cost of money, reduce terrorism, and get a handle on global counterfeiting. And that is by taking away the paper money. We will go completely to electronic money. Once we go to electronic money, we're only one step away from consolidating to a single world currency. The euro, the yuan, and the dollar will be consolidated into a single electronic currency. That means when you go to work and you exchange your hours for, let's call them dollars, those dollars will go into an electronic bank, automatically deposited the same way you and I have been doing it for 15 or 20 years, and then you will withdraw that money electronically, making your bill payments, making your, buying your gas, buying your food, buying your cigarettes, whatever you're going to do, with your debit card and your little UPC symbols. Once that's done, complete economic control of the world is only half a step away. Cash will not bail you out of this. Holding on to cash will be as hard to get rid of as that lady trying to get her cash out of the bank. It will be as hard to put cash in the bank as it is to get it out. What you need to have instead are stocks. Stocks in energy companies, stocks in companies that are effectively printing money. Stock is money. Stock is just like dollar bills, people, only it's printed by the SEC. It's printed and registered by the Securities and Exchange Commission. What will happen is if you have bearer bonds, these are not the numbers that are in your 401k, by the way. These are actually the bonds, the certificates of stock, the actual registered signed certificates. If you own stock, I highly recommend that you request a copy of the certificate. Don't look at the little numbers on your 401k and try to total it that way. It looks good on paper, but it also goes away really fast. Here's what happens with those. What happens is the companies are shorted by institutional traders. One of the biggest institutional traders out there is Citicorp. Citicorp specifically targets penny stocks. Penny stocks are over-the-counter stocks that are worth less than a dollar. Many of these are technology companies. Most of these are energy companies. What they do is they target these stocks because they know the shareholders, A, do not request certificates, which means that they can float hundreds of millions of dollars in stock purchases that they don't own. All they're doing is speculating on it, just like oil. The second thing they know is that 90% of those penny stocks are going to go out of business. When they go out of business, they get paid because they are shorting the stock. That means that they are gambling that every single one of those businesses will go out of business. And once their stock starts climbing, Friday afternoon, they'll just trade some stock at a lower value and drop the price right back down. That's what they do. That's how they manipulate the stock market. It's illegal, but they do it on such a huge scale, and they pay off so many people in politics that they're able to do it. There's plenty of proof out there, plenty of proof. There are a couple ways to beat it. It is almost impossible to win against a company that large. However, if you request the certificates from the companies, that's the same as money. As long as that company is in business and doing value, there's real value behind that bearer bond, and there's nothing backing the dollar. Nothing at all. Just the alchemical Freemasonry talismans that are on that money. So that's why we want you to pay attention to that. I also wanted to let you know we've had some tremendous sales of the book in the last couple of weeks. The Ark of Millions of Years, Volume 3, came off the presses about 4 weeks ago. It is now a national bestseller. It reached number 69 on Amazon last week. And it's been a little bit difficult for the warehouse to keep up with sales, but that's okay. The foundations of religion and science were utilized to write the first two volumes of The Ark of Millions of Years. This third volume is called Unlocking the Secret, and we want you to be aware of what's coming, of course, and how to prepare for it, not only physically, financially, but also spiritually. And, you know, if you read the first two books, you're pretty well up on things. You should be pretty well postured. You should be pretty well awake. The third book, and this is the final in the trilogy, by the way, completes the End Times books. These have been prophesied for, gosh, better than 2,000 years that they would come forth. Now they're out. So you have all the information that you need. 44 of the world's greatest manuscripts, going back to the Zohar, the Sefer Yetzirah, the Quran, the Bible, the Popol Vuh, the Egyptian Book of the Dead, the Keys of Enoch, all these books that you always wanted to read and maybe can get your hands on, we got our hands on, gleaned the parts that have to do with the 2012 preparations and predictions, and we tied this together with modern physics, the latest, most cutting-edge physics, so that you would know what is going to happen. Well, that is, by all accounts, kind of doom and gloom. And you know how this program is. X Squared Radio is about positive things. It's about uplifting things. It's about solutions. And it's about empowering the human soul and the human intention to be able to take control of your own life and be responsible for your own life condition. Well, we couldn't just leave the book like that. So this book we formatted slightly differently. What we decided to do with this book is create a part two to the book. And the part two is actually titled Unlocking the Secret. It's about 155 pages. What it does is it outlines a way for you to work the law of attraction. Now, you've heard of the law of attraction. Gosh, who hasn't? The book The Secret came out a while back, actually almost a couple years ago. It really became famous about a year ago through a highly successful marketing plan, probably the most successful in print and certainly the most successful in the self-help genre. But as successful as that marketing plan was, the book fell far short of giving you the tools to be able to work the law of attraction. The Secret is the law of attraction. Unlocking the Secret is the book you must have in order to work those tools. This has been researched by our team and myself. We interviewed hundreds of people for this book, and we digested it down to a very usable, straightforward, very well documented 155 or so pages to help you know what the tools are to work the law of attraction to create wealth and, better yet, happiness in your own life. And that book's now in print. So we want you to get a copy of it, and we made an offer on Coast to Coast AM on the 2nd of July. And I would like to extend that offer to you all, because I can't tell who listened to Coast to Coast and who didn't. We have limited the offer from July 2nd to August 2nd. So that gives you a little more than 3 weeks to be able to get this book in your hands. Now, you can do it several ways, of course. You can go down to your local bookstore and you can buy the book. Or you can go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon online and you can buy the book. Or you can go to our website, which is arkofmillionsofyears.com. That's A-R-K, like Noah's Ark, arkofmillionsofyears.com. Purchase the book off of that website. Now, there are 7 ways to purchase the book off that website. The first is you can click on the book cover. That will take you to Amazon, and you can buy the book. We put that on there so that you could price compare if you want to, just to be fair. If you want an autographed copy and you want the offer that I'm about to give you, then there are 6 buttons on the left-hand side, 2 of them for each region of the world, 2 for the United States, soft cover and hard cover, 2 for the UK and Europe and Canada. You can click on one of those 2 buttons, soft or hard cover. And the 3rd is for New Zealand, Australia, and all other parts of the planet. You click on one of those sets of numbers, and it will take you to PayPal. You do not have to have a PayPal account to buy. You can buy with a check. You can buy with your credit card, your debit card, or your PayPal account. But if you buy the book that way, we will send it to you autographed, and then we will send you the audio version of volumes 1 and 2 for free. That's $40 value for buying the book. And you get all three books. It's more important to us for you to have all three books. It's more important for us for you to have the information in your hands than it is for us to make money off all three books. We want you to get this in your hands. We are limiting the offer to August 2nd. So if you get to the website, arcofmillionsofyears.com, click on one of the buttons on the left-hand side. We will send you Volume 3 autographed, and we'll also send you the links to download the audio for Volumes 1 and Volume 2. We are converting some of those. Some of the files are in WMA format. We're converting those to MP3 so they will work with you Mac users. We are also dividing the chapters up into small enough chunks so that a single section of a chapter, if a chapter takes 2 hours to read, we'll divide it up where you can get it on two CDs, because you can only get about an hour's worth of talking on a CD, and that way you can listen to it in your car if you want to. Most people are just downloading it straight to an MP3 device, and they're listening to it that way, or putting it on a flash drive and listening to it with their laptop. So that's the offer that I wanted to give you. Also wanted to bring to your attention that we have very interesting things going on in science right now. Just recently, and I mean the 11th of July, there's an article that came out called Hot Super Earths Could Host Life After All. You know that this station, this program, is all about exploring the mysteries of the universe and, of course, of the Earth. Excuse me while I add a little water to my throat. Before I get into that, though, I wanted to let you know, last week we were at the Science, Spirit, and Earth Transformation Conference at James Gilliland's Ranch in Trout Lake, Washington. Now, Trout Lake sounds like a resort. It isn't, unless you consider looking at the stars and the possibility of seeing your first UFO and looking at the beautiful Mount Adams and getting to meet some of the most brilliant people on the planet and listening to some fantastic presenters, a resort. Then I suppose it is a resort. Trout Lake, Washington is not hard to find. It's about an hour and 20 minutes north of Portland, Oregon. You're actually driving away from Mount Hood and toward Mount Adams to get there. An easy drive. James has an annual conference there around the July 4th weekend. This year it was the July 4th weekend. He is strongly considering doing another one in September. We're trying to encourage him to do that. He is going to need some support doing that. So we want you to go to eseti.org and be sure to email James and let him know that you want to hear great speakers like William Henry and Michal Ledwith and Michael Sala and Robert.
One of the things we have learned here at X Squared Radio from our emails is that many listeners to this program are educators and students. Well, we have recently added a great affiliate for you. The Academic Superstore is the place where you can buy software, neat tools and gadgets, and even supplies such as calculators and iPod peripherals at huge discounts. The best things for the classroom and for the student are just a tax-free click away. All you have to do is click the Academic Superstore sign at X Squared Radio and start saving. Agnew here with X Squared Radio. You own an inkjet printer, right? I used to buy my inkjet cartridges at a national chain store that will remain unnamed for about $35 per cartridge. The color and black cartridges together ran around $80. Well, no more. I discovered a great place to buy printer supplies at 123 Inkjets. They not only provide excellent quality and fast shipping, every time I buy, I get a chance to win a free printer. Stop paying high prices. Visit 123 Inkjets at X Squared Radio today and start saving money. Have you ever thought about owning a telescope? I mean a really good telescope. Well, at the Discovery Store at X Squared Radio, you can find the world's best telescopes at great discounts and free shipping. They have come a long way, you know. Most of the comets discovered in the last 50 years were found by amateurs. There is no better way to view the sun than with a coronoscope. Trust me, you will be captivated if you ever get to watch the sun through one of these units. Who knows? You just might save the planet. Plan a trip to the Discovery Store at X Squared Radio. Brookside New here with X Squared Radio. There is some place you should visit before the end of the week. The Horizon Project is probably the most important examination of future Earth events in the world today. But there is a reason you should visit their website soon. I can't give you all the details here, but I can tell you that the first DVD in the 6-part series is now available for pre-purchase with a $5 discount. This series will no doubt be airing on the History Channel or Discovery Channel, but you need the uncut version with all of the bonus material. Trust me, it may be one of the most important video productions you will ever see. Click on the Horizon Project banner at X Squared Radio today. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio. Did you know that 11 of the 12 sets of footprints on the moon were made by Eagle Scouts? It's true. Soon, men and women will be doing the real moonwalk. But just so we don't forget, the first footprint on the moon has been replicated in a limited edition plaque that would make the perfect gift for a court of honor. Maybe you need something special for your office or your library at home. This high-quality plaque can add that something special that lets people know how excited you are. We are returning to the moon. Visit Countdown Creations at X Squared Radio today and order your limited edition First Step on the Moon plaque.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we lost our host, Brooks Agnew. Brooks, if you're out there and you're tuning into your own program, we lost you. Somehow this the VoIP line disconnected or whatever the case is, and he may not know he's disconnected, but we've been running some commercial programming to all the your fans out there. I apologize for this. We do have a little bit of a snafu here going on. His line just clicked right off, and now we've been trying to reach him on his cellular, and the numbers we have for him, we've had no luck. We're going to keep trying to reach the host, Dr. Brooks Agnew. Thank you for tuning in to X Squared Radio.
The space shuttle fleet is very soon going to be retired. No other spacecraft in history has advanced the world more than this fleet. I wanted a way to keep that memory alive in my home, so I went to the space store at X Squared Radio and ordered a 25-inch model of the space orbiter. People who have seen it always comment on the incredible attention to detail in this model. I think if you know someone who loves the space program, and you want to get them a gift that they will never forget, you should visit the space store at X Squared Radio. People are always looking for something inexpensive and unique to give people they love. Well, now there is a way to give a gift that not only says how long you will love them, but it also allows you to help keep the planet green and growing. Tree Givers at X Squared Radio is the company that will plant a tree on public lands somewhere in the 50 states and provide your special person with a beautiful certificate of that placement. This has become one of the most popular gift sites in the world, and because of their love for the Earth, they are changing the world. So visit Tree Givers at X Squared Radio and see if you can find a gift for your special person. Brooks Agnew here with X Squared Radio. If you like wildlife art and would love to add some of the most beautiful replicas to your home or office, you should visit Wildlife Gifts at X Squared Radio. They have everything from pandas to fish to eagles to horses in all sizes and price ranges. No matter what animal you love, they have the art for you. So visit Wildlife Gifts at X Squared Radio for that special someone today. Brooks Agnew here, author of The Ark of Millions of Years. You know we have revealed to you the ancient predictions that natural disasters are going to increase in power and frequency in these times. We might not always have the National Weather Service or the Emergency Broadcasting Service, so you might want to get your hands on some of the best weather reporting instruments around. Visit Wind and Weather at X Squared Radio and pick up something that might be useful. They also have neat gifts for your favorite people who like things for the outdoors or for their meditation garden. Check out Wind and Weather at X Squared Radio. You know we have revealed to you the ancient predictions that natural disasters are going to increase in power and frequency in these times. We might not always have the National Weather Service or the Emergency Broadcasting Service. So you might want to get your hands on some of the best weather reporting instruments around. Visit Wind and Weather at X Squared Radio and pick up something that might be useful. They also have the neatest gifts for your favorite people who like things for the outdoors or for their meditation garden. Check out Wind and Weather at X Squared Radio.
Well, welcome back, Earth Explorers. We don't really know what happened. I'm talking along, minding my own business on a cable phone system, and all of a sudden the entire phone system got nuked. Everything. All four phones are out. So now we are doing the interview by cell phone. I'll let him try to stop this. I don't know where I lost you, but I think we were talking about the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition coming up. I want to let you know that that is slated for a year from next month. A year from next month. This last weekend we had the conference, Science, Spirits, and Earth Transformation Conference at James Gilliland's Ranch in Trout Lake, Washington. If you've never been there, you're really missing something. Trout Lake is not a resort unless you consider the possibility of seeing UFOs, great star watching, and being around some of the most brilliant presenters and researchers in the world. A resort, then of course it is a resort. But suffice it to say that this is a conference, if you've ever made one or ever thought about making one, this is one you don't want to miss. The caliber of presenter that you will see there, the people that you meet there, you will network and really enhance your education and your awareness. Now, that conference is already over, and normally they have them once a year around the July 4th weekend. This year it was on the July 4th weekend. But we are encouraging James to try to have another conference in September or October. It is difficult to have these. You need to know that there's a lot of logistics, a lot of planning, and a lot of expense in putting these things on. However, that being said, this is one of the more successful events in the country. So we're encouraging him to do that. If you want to see that happen, get yourself over to eceti.org. It's ECETI.org, and encourage him to get that going. The reason this is important is because at this particular Science, Spirit, and Earth Transformation Conference, we had a 7-person council. We sat together for 2 hours, and we discussed our plans for helping the Earth become awakened and helping the race of mankind become awakened. Now, I don't know who you've met, who you've talked to, who you've read about, or who you've heard on television or radio, but I can tell you these 7 people were probably among the most powerful, knowledgeable, and prepared in the world for bringing this to pass. And some mighty, mighty things were talked about this last weekend. You are involved in this. If you're listening to this program, you're involved in this. There is a brave need to awaken the race of man to the prospect, not only that we're not alone in the universe, but that we are required to participate with these other races in order to help the planet Earth reach its, shall we call it, paradisaical glory. No, that doesn't mean we're going to bring about the apocalypse. No, it doesn't mean that grand cataclysms are necessarily going to happen and wipe us all off the planet. There is a way for us to use our consciousness and our intention and our resources to change the world. And it can be done. It can be done. And in fact, Don and I were just talking, my producer and I, here on BBS Radio. And by the way, I need to let you know, we are coming to you live from the BBS Radio Network. Some of you are listening to that network. Others of you are listening to the CLI Media Network, courtesy of Kevin Smith, and we appreciate his efforts more than you know. Between these two networks, this radio program may be in the top three internet radio programs on Earth. Now, that's important to us, and we realize the responsibility of it. So, let me share with you this discovery. The 11th of July, this is the 13th of July, we're talking about 2 days ago, massive rocky worlds called super-Earths, even those orbiting searingly close to their stars, may provide the right conditions for life, new research suggests. At up to 15 times the mass of Earth, the rocky bodies are bigger and easier to spot than Earth-sized worlds, which have yet to be detected. In fact, technological advances recently led to the discovery of up to 45 new super-Earths, and astronomers say a third of all sun-like stars may host the brawny planets. A third! But could they host life? Quote, there is no reason why the different chemical cycles that are important for life on our planet wouldn't work on super-Earths, says Lisa Kaltenegger of the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics in Massachusetts. Kaltenegger helped organize a recent conference session on the topic, and she says the consensus of attendees was similarly positive, even for those planets once dismissed as being too harsh for life. Well, they might consider our planet too harsh for life in some places, too. We have temperatures exceeding 120 degrees positive Fahrenheit, and we also have places exceeding 100 degrees negative Fahrenheit. So we definitely have a hostile planet, too, but we flourish just fine. Super-Earths orbiting close to their stars, for example, experience gravitational tugs that keep them tidally locked to their host stars. This means one side of such a planet always faces its star, the way the moon always shows the same side to Earth. This is what they mean by tidally locked. Astronomers previously assumed such planets would be two-faced worlds of fire and ice, with one half molten and the other frozen. Early models suggest the atmospheres of such worlds would quickly vanish, as water vapor and other atmospheric molecules on the planet's dark side would turn to ice and plunge to the ground. It was thought that after the atmosphere on the dark side was completely iced out, then it would suck atmosphere from the hot side, freezing that out as well, Kaltenegger told the New Scientist. But new models show that if a tidally locked super-Earth has an atmosphere of at least as dense as Earth's, strong winds could transport heat from its hot side to its cold side. Similarly, if the planet has a global ocean, its currents could help spread the warmth. This effect still wouldn't offset the intense heat the planets would experience at close distances to the sun-like stars, but it means super-Earths could potentially host life as close as 0.05 nautical or astronomical units away from dim stars known as red dwarfs, which make up about 85% of the stars in the galaxy. Red dwarfs are more toward the iron spectrum of light, more away from the hydrogen spectrum of light, but they still nevertheless can support life. The reason that this article is key, is so important, is because the core of the Earth, the core of the Earth is agreed by most geologists today to be solid iron. Now, some of those geologists, most recently of Harvard, have suggested that the core of the Earth may actually be a crystalline iron, much more dense than originally thought, which would make a lot of sense, since if you take Earth's diameter and its distance away from the Sun and the speed with which it rotates around the Sun, the Earth should be more dense than it appears to be based on drillings that we've made from the surface. If the core is this super dense crystalline iron that geologists now believe it may be, that would make up the difference of the missing mass that would make up the weight of the Earth. But if that is the case, and it does happen to be glowing red, very similar to a red dwarf, it would, in the longer wavelengths, have enough light to support photosynthesis. And if it can support photosynthesis, I guess you know what that means. Photosynthesis is the very root of life on this planet. Without it, all life here would end. If we have photosynthesis inside the Earth, it means all life could exist. Now you see how the pieces are falling together. Now you see why this expedition is so important. So that's why we keep bringing these articles to you one by one, piece by piece, line upon line, precept upon precept. The truth is being put together. And the discovery of the millennia is about to be made. And if you listen to this program, you are right in the front row seat of what is about to happen. And if you have friends that don't listen to this program, fix it. Share what you know with your friends. It is very important that X Squared Radio become this global radio program that we need to have out there. I also want to let you know, I owe you all an apology, although it's not really my fault. Our hosting service, iPowerWeb.com, migrated our site to a new server, and in migrating it to the new server, completely hosed our database of people that have signed up for archives. So you have not been able to access a single show, a single program in our archives, and we apologize for that. We may not be able to recover from this, so we may be switching over to completely free format for a while until we can find a reliable database management system that will control and will allow us to download the database and records so that we can keep it. It just became far too complicated and far too convoluted for us to try to recover from that migration. We apologize for it. We're doing our best to recover from it. It may take us several weeks to rewrite the code. There are over 200 programs saved in the archives. We have to go back to each and every one of those and change the code in order for you to be able to listen to them free. So it will take us a while. So our first hour has been this monologue with me to you to try to bring you up to date on some of the world news. You did hear the part about the banking. This falls completely in line with our second book, The Ark of Millions of Years, 2012, and The Harvest of the End Times, where we described in a chapter called Return of the Watchers how the world would literally be taken over economically through the control of one world currency, and the steps that would be taken, very concerted, very well designed, very well engineered and planned for, to not only destroy the faith in the currency and the banking systems, but to convert all cash into electronic currency. convert all the currencies into one world currency. So those of you that have been fighting against a one world government, you're about to lose the battle with respect to economic control. By the way, I should let you know that bartering will be considered black market activity and will be punishable by incarceration. So those of you that are doing yard sales and bartering out there for money, your days are numbered. Just thought I should let you know. There is a way out, though. You can use energy stocks as currency. There's real value behind them, and the money that you invest in those energy stocks right now will have an effect on unseating the oil companies as the controllers of the world. In our next hour, as you know, in doing research for staffing up and preparing the course and the line of study for the North Pole Inter-Earth Expedition, we have been researching and searching worldwide for the experts who know or who think they know or have some evidence of what we should expect in the North Pole above the Arctic Circle. There have been many more people who think they know than actually know, and so it kind of narrows the field a little bit to people who actually have some experience. And I can tell you pretty much on one hand how many people actually have experience above the Arctic Circle. Not many. Of course, we fly over it all the time when you fly to Europe, but you do so at 40,000 feet, well above the cloud cover that covers this region of the world. Admiral Byrd, in his well known by the world, did so at 2,500 feet. We can't find any pilots to fly at that altitude today. Admiral Byrd did it. That's why we call him an aviation hero instead of a statistic. You have to be a heck of a pilot to be able to fly that many hours at that altitude in that kind of country. We can't get anybody to fly 2,500 feet, so we are going to charter a nuclear-powered icebreaker and make the trip by sea. It's never been done before. No one can follow us. No one can rescue us. There's no resupply ship. We go in, we come out. We'll make sure that you have all the truth. In doing this, we made a discovery. Someone was introduced to us, Colonel Billy Woodard, and she is going to come on our program in about 8 minutes. I just wanted to let you know, she was first stationed in Area 51, Nevada, January 28, 1971 through 1982. She worked there 11 years. In that period of service, she visited the hollow interior of the Earth 6 times, 800 miles deep. This supports our research and seismological, shall we call them, CAT scans of the Earth that have been done and synthesized by Washington University that say the crust is about 800 miles thick. When she arrived at Area 51, she was indoctrinated to the existence of tunnels beneath Area 51, and soon after, she met several of the underground shuttle operators. She says they have a stature of 13 to 14 feet in height. These tunnels that traverse the world are built by a species of being who have existed here before we, a long, very long time. After her arrival at Area 51, she was made aware of the tunnels and all the workings of the facility itself. They told her that the first 15 levels of the Area 51 facility were man-made and that levels 16 through 27 were already there. Nobody from our government made them. They were just using them as leftovers built by another race a long, long time ago. Her father was stationed at Roswell. As part of her induction into the military, he requested that she be stationed along with him at the Pentagon. There they said, quote, "We have a new duty station for you, which will be Area 51 in Nevada, commonly referred to as S4. So We are going to discuss the tunnels, the shuttles, a little bit of her personal history, the hollow earth vortexes. We're also going to discuss how we might get access to the interior. And then, and we don't want you to miss this, we want you to hang around. And if you have a friend that you think should hear this, get on the phone and call them now, because we are going to have on this program tonight channeled communication with inner earth beings who say they know about the expedition coming up and they know what we're about to discover. We want you to be in on that. You have about 4 minutes to call them and we will start. We will take about a 60-second commercial break recorded. I'll have a few more commercials, and then you can line up with your friends. Don't forget, the phone lines are now open. Toll-free, U.S., 888-228-4494. Anywhere in Canada, toll-free, 877-489-6350.
Agnew here, author of The Ark of Millions of Years. You know we have revealed to you the ancient predictions that natural disasters are going to increase in power and frequency in these times. We might not always have the National Weather Service or the Emergency Broadcasting Service, so you might want to get your hands on some of the best weather reporting instruments around. Visit Wind and Weather at X Squared Radio and pick up something that might be useful. They also have neat gifts for your favorite people who like things for the outdoors or for their meditation garden. Check out Wind and Weather at X Squared Radio.
Welcome back, Earth Explorers, to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. In here, the results are always positive. It is July 13th. My AccuWindow forecast is about 87 degrees, sunny, slight breeze, perfect motorcycle weather. If you want to get the two-wheeler out, go ahead. But you might want to wait 2 hours. What we're about to get into, people have been waiting for a long time. As you know, we are preparing to do the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition in August of 2009. We've manifested it. We've set our sights on it. We have most of our team together. And so we're working on it. Now, I want to let you know we have some affiliates helping us out, and we want you to help them out. The first is 123 Inkjets. If you go to x2-radio.com, all you have to do is click on the 123 Inkjets banner in the left-hand side. Now, I know you probably own an inkjet printer. I do, too. I have a couple of them. But I do not buy cartridges at the store. I don't buy them from Staples, Office Depot, or even Walmart, because 123 Inkjets is the most economical, convenient place to buy inkjet cartridges. Now, there's some bonuses for doing this. Not only do you get your inkjet cartridge and toner materials at huge discounts, but you also get free shipping. And every time you buy, you get a chance at winning a free printer. Now, how cool is that? Come on, people. All you have to do is go to x2-radio.com, click on the 123 Inkjets banner, and you can start saving today. The second I want you to take note of, if you have not started putting your food storage program together, or at least your emergency preparedness, I'm talking about a water filter, I'm talking about a 72-hour pack, 3 days of food and water, or the ability to filter water, dehydrated food, or meals ready to eat, this is the place to go. I'm about to give you the name. We've researched them. We looked at over 100 emergency preparedness companies, over 100. We went through them. We talked to them. We tried working with their ordering systems. This is the premier company. They're called NitroPack. All you have to do is click on that banner on the left-hand side at x2-radio.com and go to NitroPack. Trust me, if you go through their list of materials there, they will deliver to you. And I'm telling you, not to alarm you, but there are all kinds of disasters that happen. Floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, fires. There may be earthquakes. There may be these errant waves that make their way to the shore. By the way, the International Shipping Commission is saying that these errant waves, by the way, these are giant waves that travel at nearly the speed of sound in deep water, and they nearly capsize these ocean-going vessels. And I'm talking about ocean liners, 1,000 feet long, that carry 4,000 people on them. They nearly capsize these boats. These events are now happening at the rate of one a month now. The rate is increasing. These waves, if they get turned sideways to a continent instead of running with the current, we're talking a tidal wave 200 to 400 meters high, traveling at nearly the speed of sound. That means that once you see it in the rearview mirror, you have about enough time to step on the gas, and it's over. So it's important that you have a 72-hour kit. Something that you can grab and get out of the house and survive for 3 days, because the grocery stores are not going to be available to you. Get there. NitroPack. The third one is the Discovery Channel store, because during the summertime, a lot of these kids have birthdays coming up. We want them to be inspired. We also want you to think about buying yourself a telescope. I don't mean the little kind of telescope that you hold up in your hands and look across the football field or the baseball diamond. I'm talking a telescope so that you can look out into space. We do not have enough telescopes looking out into space for these near-Earth objects. All of the comets discovered in the last 50 years have been discovered by amateurs. It's because the government scopes are all paid for. Their time is already booked by universities, grad students, and even government programs. We need independent people out there with good telescopes looking out into space on a regular basis. The Discovery Store is where you can pick those things up. So click on the Discovery Store banner at x2-radio.com, and you can pick yourself up a world-class telescope capable of doing that. This hour, we are going to be talking to Colonel Billy Woodard. You may have heard the name before, but you've never heard the interview for radio. We are talking about the greatest geological expedition in the history of the world. We have often said in this program that we do not have the resources to go to Mars, maybe not in my lifetime. We do not have the resources to go to the moon. That, of course, is going to be a military expedition. But we can visit a place that has never been seen by anyone on the face of the earth by sea. One man in 1926, claims that he flew into this by air. That would be Admiral Byrd. In 1926, flew across the North Pole and areas beyond, and flew into a green and lush area which should not have been there. As it turns out, that has been much of fable material since the mid-1600s, maybe before that. Tibetan Buddhism, starting in the 7th century, began talking about an inner earth. Ancient Mayan legends talk about gods coming out of the earth. The Bible itself talks about Noah and his ship coming up out of the fountains of the earth, and then his boat comes to rest on Ararat. It could very well have come from the inner earth. I know you're saying, gee, there's no way that's possible. Let's think about it just for a moment. The earth is approximately 7,700 miles in diameter, plus or minus a couple hundred miles, depending on where you're standing. In that diameter, on the outside of the earth, we realize that the continents appear to fit together like a glove, like a key and a lock. At one time, the idea that all the continents fit together in one lump was called Pangaea. That has been thoroughly, properly, and geologically discounted. No way, they say, did all the continents fit together in one place on the surface of the earth. And they're right. But if you take the diameter of the earth and you shrink it to one-third its present size, guess what? All the continents and their continental shelves fit together perfectly. It looks like Earth, when it cooled out of the accretion disk, or when it was adopted from the Sagittarius galaxy, came into this solar system spinning at a high rate of speed. Now, planets that do this, different states. One, they explode and become asteroid belts. Two, they spit off a piece of themselves, which becomes a moon. We have a good example of that in our solar system. Venus once had a moon called Mercury, and Mercury broke loose and became its own planet. However, the third state of planet reaches a state of overspin where the crust merely cracks and then cools, filled in with molten material. It cracks again and fills in again. It does this repeatedly over a period of billions of years. And what happens is the planet's diameter expands. In expanding due to conservation of momentum, it slows. When it slows, its exposure to the sun becomes regular enough where temperatures become temperate, water becomes available in liquid form, and life begins to spring forth. Geologically, it leaves a void between the crust and the core. The crust is rotating slower than the core because it's been slowing down due to expansion. The counter-rotation between those two bodies creates an immense, powerful magnetic field, which we call the magnetosphere. There is a Coriolis effect that's well known in mathematics between two rotating bodies on the same axis. They can reach a harmonic dissonance, which means one gets out of phase with the other and it starts wobbling. The wobble becomes very slight at first and gets severe very quickly. What happens is the core literally rolls over. It keeps rotating in the same direction, but it rolls over, which means our North Pole becomes the South Pole. The crust comes to a screeching halt, stays there for about a day and a half, and begins rotating in the opposite direction, and the sun begins rising in the west. So, there you have it. This is the stuff of legend. This is the stuff of ancient history, recorded civilization after civilization, which unfortunately only left their records in stone or in gold or in clay or in cleverly preserved codexes. We have some of those records. We have have enough to inspire our curiosity. We have enough to lead us to form a hypothesis that the Earth might be hollow. And we are going to go above the Arctic Circle next year to see for ourselves. In doing that, we realize, as we just told you in our last hour about these hot super Earths, where fire and ice exist on the same planet, much closer to their sun than we are to ours. However, many of these suns are red dwarfs, glowing in the wavelength of iron. So, it makes it possible that the iron core of the Earth and the void of the Earth filled with oxygen, filled with seawater, if I guarantee you that if there's energy there and there's void there, there will be life. Now, we have often said on this program that life may exist in microbial form, and it also may exist in more advanced biology. Some of the fish that we're beginning to see in our nets have not been seen for over 1 million years on the surface of this planet, but they might be quite common in other oceans, which, thanks to global warming, are being made available to our oceans again. There might also be more complex life, life from other worlds, life from previous civilizations on the surface and inside the Earth. If that's the case, and they're intelligent, then they have the ability to communicate, not only with themselves, but also with us. Our guest, Colonel Billy Woodard, is one such communicator. Billy, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Colonel, is it okay if I call you Colonel, or you want me to call you Billy, or?
Billy Fay is better.
All right, Billy. We have talked a little bit off the air. What I want to do for the next hour and 45 minutes, I want to approach this from as scientific a point as I can. But I also realize that we are going to venture a little past the imagination of most listeners.
That's true.
One of the things I became painfully aware of, maybe not painfully aware of, but certainly this ascension experience a couple of years ago brought it to a reality for me. The human body is a biological transducer, capable of picking up signals from all kinds of areas. So let's try to approach it from that standpoint. The next 45 minutes, let's talk about your experience in Area 51 and how you became in contact with beings from the inner Earth.
Okay. You read earlier a treatise about that was on the internet, but part of what was said by in One Light, the website, he sort of exaggerated and left a few points out that I need to bring back in that should be there, which you didn't include.
Okay.
A while back, several years ago, actually, in fact, people probably called in on your show and told you about it, underground noises that were heard that with no explanation as to where they were coming from. Those were earth-boring machines that were built by the RAND Corporation. And they were boring the tunnels, the man-made tunnels, under Area 51, traveling underneath the United States out to the Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean, South America, and Canada.
Wow.
And the RAND Corporation is responsible for that.
Well, that's a lot of boring. That's a lot of boring.
Yes, it is. And I was stationed at the Groom Lake facility, not the S4 facility, export facility is not near Area 51. It is across the
Okay.
But the Area 1, the underground facility of is called Area 51, of course. When I was there, I was told, well, actually, I was called by name to go down to the lower levels. I was told by my superiors that there was a group of people that had spoke of my name by name and asked for me to communicate, to talk with them. And these were huge people. They were not short, stocky people. They were huge, 12 to 13, some of them even 14 feet in height. Some of them were from Telos, beneath Mount Shasta.
Uh-huh.
Telos is a city beneath Mount Shasta. It is several ways of going. You can go through the lava tubes. You can go through the Upper Panther Meadow, if anyone's ever been there. You will come to a rock face. You'll put your hand upon it, and the door will open for you. We'll gain entrance to the city of Telos. As far as the Area 51 facility is concerned, it's a big complex, much larger than you've seen in movies or pictures or whatever. And it houses at least 200,000 people.
Wow.
That's heavy. When I realized that, it just sort of blew me because I couldn't understand why they had that many people down there. But there's a city underneath there, shops, and that's why there's a lot of civilians that travel from Las Vegas on a daily basis to Area 51 because they work there in the shops and the stores and all this, the ground.
Where does all the commerce come from? Where does all the goods come from that they buy and sell down there?
All over. They come through the tunnels. They come through the tunnels from different areas. There are pyramids off the coast of Virginia Beach, Virginia, and also just north of the Big Island of Hawaii. And there are tunnels that go from those that into the tunnels beneath Area 51.
So now I understand from a lot of commentators on the cable channels on television that Area 51 is largely abandoned now, that they've moved it somewhere up in the mountains in Utah. Is there any credence to this, or is Area 51 still a vibrant Earth access point?
It is a vibrant access point. And the reason they were saying for people to go to Utah is to take the draw off of Area 51.
Right. Well, so I guess a lot of the surface activity, flying experimental aircraft and, you know, all that kind of stuff, is taking place somewhere else.
Yes, it is.
He's going to switch us to different lines. Let him switch us to different lines, and then we can maintain better volume control. So just give him a second to make the switch. All right, Earth Explorers, the reason that we went off the air real quickly is we want to get the volume levels equalized so that we can Colonel Billy Woodard and myself, and that way you guys can hear what's going on. What we're hearing right now is absolutely cutting-edge stuff about how involved this particular location is with access to the inner Earth. I want you to listen with an open mind, as I will too, and we'll try to get the most positive viewpoint we can about this. So just hang in there with us. What we're working on tonight is trying to bring you all the aspects of the inner Earth. It's important that you get all of the information so that you can make intelligent decisions yourself. Okay, Colonel Billy, are you back on?
Yes, I am.
Okay, now we can probably maintain volume levels a little bit better so that our listeners can pay a little bit better attention. And I want to remind everyone, right now, all phone lines are open. So if you want to call in and ask a question, please do so. We'll announce the phone numbers again here in about 10 minutes, and we'll pick up where we left off. What we were talking about was the fact that Area 51, it appears from all media accounts, is being phased out as a government facility, and a new facility in Utah is now being utilized. What we discussed was the fact that, yes, maybe the surface activity is gone, but the underground activity is still completely vibrant. Did I get that right, Colonel?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Call me Billy, please. Okay. Now, the tunnels that are underneath Area 51 are large enough to drive two 18-wheelers side-by-side through.
Wow.
That's quite large.
That's very large.
Yes, it is. And these were already there. They weren't built by the RAND Corporation. They were already there. We are just utilizing them.
Hmm. So it was kind of leftover, sort of like Teotihuacan was when the Mayans migrated west from the coast, being driven there by hurricane and earthquake and volcano. And they walk up on the city of Teotihuacan, and here's a city capable of sustaining a population of 200,000 people. No artwork, no pottery, nothing left behind, just a perfect city sitting there.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Wow.
You want to know where they are?
Yes, I want to know who they are.
They went into the tunnels beneath their city to the inner cities. Not the hollow earth cities, but the inner cities, ones in the earth's crust.
Uh-huh.
You have seven major different civilizations beneath your feet. You have what is termed as the Deros, the Teros, the Gnomes, the Elfins, Reptilians,
uh-huh.
The Green Race, the Lemurians, and the Arianians.
Wow.
And that's just a few. Oh, and also the insectoids as well.
Well, tell us a little bit more about these. How did they come to be there? Who was the first race here?
The first races here would have been the Elfins. Elfins meaning like the... how would I term those? Open. The one with the pointed ears. Some people call them goblins, but they're actually open.
Where did they come from?
They were all here. They came from the star system of Alpha Centauri, I believe.
Wow.
They've been here for eons of time.
Why did they come here? I mean, what is it that they want to find here?
It's a paradise under there. you have a constant 73 degrees constant Fahrenheit, 73 degrees. You have subtropical paradise. Everything is huge in stature. All of your animals, such as your T-Rex and all of your dinosaurs, are there. But they're not carnivorous creatures. They are telepathic creatures. They communicate with man, and man communicates with them. They are not. And there's all creatures. And so the surface world that has been making all the dinosaurs to be vicious creatures or carnivorous, flesh-eating monsters or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And to me, I think that's sad, but that's the way it is. And when I'm basically when later on in your program, I'm going to be asking Zora to speak, and of course when he goes, I go where he is, and he comes where I am, and sometimes it ends up in very embarrassing locations, such as flying on top of a pterodactyl or riding on the back of a mammoth or something like that. He does that quite a lot down there. But whenever he comes into my consciousness and I come into his consciousness, he speaks through me, and of course, I'm in his being. It's complicated, but that's the way it works. There's a lot going on, especially the things that are going to be happening on the surface of this planet that people have no idea of what's coming.
Well, I think they have some idea. It's just that
it's hard to believe
it. Whether or not they believe it or not. It's just whether or not they believe it or not.
That's true.
And what we're trying to do is, at least with this program, is we're trying to give them a credible, scientific, if possible, backed up with data and facts, some kind of if not proof, certainly enough evidence that they can make a decision for themselves that I need to protect myself or I need to move to a certain area or away from a certain area.
I hear you. In the Arctic Ocean around, if you're up in Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, if you're standing up there, you can see the entire halo of light of the Aurora Borealis at the top of the world, and you can see the entire circle of light, and it's really a remarkable sight. And that's the shine at the center portion.
And the Aurora Borealis. Now, this is occurring, is coming out of the Earth, right?
Yes, it is. It reflects off of ice crystals called crystalline and reflects back to the Earth as a halo of light. What it is, it's a reflection of the central sun. Different times there's clouds that go across the sun, and it's not a fusion gaseous ball. It is a glowing opal, basically. And it is it's not enough to burn your skin. It will not photosynthesis, yes, but as far as getting a sunburn down there, do it.
Uh-huh.
You won't get a sunburn.
Because there's no UV in it. It's all in the infrared.
There's no radiation in it. And, of course, there's also a... I won't say it because when Zora comes through, he'll explain it about our sun. The truth about our sun, and it is so mind blowing that I just will leave that to him. But it's not what we think it is. As remarkable as it sounds, every planet in our solar system is hollow. and I mean every one.
Yes. Now, some, I understand, have a core, and some do not have a core, and that's why they either have or do not have a magnetosphere.
Right. But there is life in, not on Mars, not on the outside, but there is life in its interior. The atmosphere.
Huh. So, what does this mean?
I think, from what I was told, was that there was a cataclysm that caused the atmosphere to be raked off of the Mars surface. But it did not rake the, or did not make the atmosphere with the center. And how that's explained, I wouldn't try to explain that, but he said that there's life everywhere, and we are just supposed to try to think we're the only ones, because we're not. earlier in my younger time, after I met, of course it was after I got out of the military, I became a student infant in Yale, Washington. And I went to the School of Enlightenment until I found out that there were some things going on there that I didn't agree with. And, of course, it wasn't right, so I basically dropped out. But there was a lot of stuff going on there that was very informative and very, how would I put this?
Very enlightening.
Very enlightening, absolutely. And, of course, Rance was a 35,000-year-old extended master. And but I think Zora has him beat by at least several thousand years. But I would say that Rance teaches for God, and that we can be God, be creative in the essence of what God is. And that we have the same capability of creation, which we do. But to try to explain that to somebody, that's another story.
Yeah, that's a little harder to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little difficult. But by learning the consciousness and energy body, and he explained how to do it, and of course the process is real simple. It opens your mind, your third eye, it just enlightens your mind to the point where you start using a lot more than 10%. And it's just, like I said, it's just mind-boggling. But, and when I was, basically when I was, I'll go back to when I was 12 years old. One time I was walking from a scout meeting, headed home with a friend, and we were on our way home, and I was going to cut through the cornfield because it's faster. And she said, no, I'm going to go around the other way because the stalks look like they're going to reach down and grab you. Corn stalks. Of course, that was very small at the time. And walking through the cornfield, of course, it was kind of scary, but yet it was shorter distance to home, so I was going to go that way. I glanced up, and I saw this light, and it got brighter and brighter and brighter, and pretty soon, before too long, it just lit up the entire area. And I was picked up. A voice come from the light and said, Billy, Fay, we are here to take you on a journey. Do not be afraid. I was more curious than afraid, and I said, okay, let's go. And I was taken up into their craft. And they were very large beings in this ship. And they said, you will be going on a journey that will take a series of up to 3 to 4 months. And of course, at that point, I sort of told them, I said, well, I don't know if I should do that. I would be grounded for life. But I went ahead and agreed, and they went ahead and took me to their location, which turned out to be the hollow interior of the earth at the city of Eden. And that's a beautiful city of crystalline material. And everything is just so indescribable. Some of the things you're going to see on your journey is just going to blow your mind. Here I'm ranting.
Well, I hope so. That's the plan. I mean, when we take the ship up there, we hope we're not just going to see whales and icebergs and blowing wind. It's said that
see a lot more
up
than that.
There. What's that?
You'll see a lot more than that. You'll definitely see a lot more than that.
We hope so.
Well, when I went on the took my expedition after the military, I decided I was going to take a journey up to the North Polar region. We went up to Alaska and we hired a bush pilot that owned a seaplane that was basically at this time. I think it's I heard it was like a albatross.
Uh-huh.
20-inch albatross. It's got a bottom and the stabilizers on the wings to keep it afloat. And we flew up to the 90th parallel. And the plan was to be dropped off, and we would continue on in inflatable boats. Because at that point on the Arctic Ocean, there was no ice. It was open sea at the 90th parallel. And the external temperature was shocked the pilot all the heck, because he said, this can't be right. He said, my outside temperature is saying it's 50 degrees above zero. Something's wrong. And I said, no, it's not wrong, it's right. And just about that time, as we were about ready to make our descent to be dropped off on this ocean to continue on with the inflatables, we were intercepted by Air Force fighters. And they informed
now,
us.
How does an Air Force fighter fighter get that far north?
Good question. Point being was that we were instructed by this pilot to follow their ship, their aircraft back to alert base, Alaska. Because when we took off from Point Barrow, Alaska, and flew due north from there to gain entrance to the Hollow Earth. But we were intercepted by two fighters, and they informed to follow their to proceed to alert base Alaska, where we were detained. All of our photographic equipment were confiscated. We were detained and told not to go up there, and they wanted to make sure that we weren't terrorists or whatever. But just before we made, hesitantly and reluctantly made our course change, there were three glowing disks in the distance, just hovering. And our radio broke with communications from these discs. One of them said, you have attempted to enter our domain. You are welcome. However, you will not make it this trip. But you are welcome.
Wow.
They will welcome you. They will be there welcoming you when you get to your point of embarkation.
Well, that's what I'm hoping.
Take you in. They will take you in. What they will do, they will take control of the aircraft, whatever type of aircraft you're going to use to go in. They will take control of the ship.
They will.
They will put their field around you, extend it from theirs, and they will take you into the Earth's interior. You'll become students. basically, it's what you want. I mean, you want to know the existence of the hollow earth, and if it's hollow, yes, it is. I have no doubts in my mind about that. And you won't either once you get up there.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yes. And when I was so disappointed when we had to follow the aircraft back to a little base, Alaska.
Now, I'm curious, how did the Air Force communicate with your vessel saying that you had to turn around?
That was radio.
Oh, they came on your radio. And
yeah,
what kind of vehicles? What kind of vehicles were you occupying or utilizing to get over the ice up there?
Well, we were in a seaplane, and we got to the 90th parallel at the North Pole area. Not the 84, if you're thinking. It was the 90th. Well, it's basically somewhere between the 84th and the 90th, it'll start to gradually curve in. But the point that we flew to, we got to the point where we could see sun behind us, but yet ahead of us there was the corona from the Earth's center, the Earth's sun. We could see a corona ahead of us, which totally mind-boggled the pilot, because he's something's not right here. He says, the sun's behind us, but yet he's... What's going on? The reason we were stopped is because when we were making our expedition setup, getting the people to go, we had a member of the Audubon Society that was going in. We had, we made the mistake of taking a journalist with us. And you know how journalists are. They're very, very skeptical, very, very inquisitive, and in some cases very fearful. Well, this person, we told everyone not to tell anyone where we're going because we don't want anyone to stop us. So, flying up there, of course, he excused himself, make a phone call to New York, to the paper where he was employed by, supposedly. But what happened was he contacted the Air Force. We found out later what happened. He contacted the Air Force and told them when we were going up there.
Uh-huh.
And that was totally wrong on his part. But, of course, when he got up there and he saw the central sun, corona ahead of us and the sun behind us, he realized, oh, my God, I made a big mistake. The story of a lifetime he could have had, but he blew it because he panicked. And let know we were going up there. And the powers that be decided that we weren't going up there. So, but it'd be a good story.
Well, I wonder why they did that.
It's going to be a different story with the icebreaker because you're going to be on the ocean. July and August of next year will be the hottest time for that area, temperature-wise.
Yeah, that's true. It will be. And we believe that the Northwest Passage should open well enough that this ship can slide through there and get up to the point where, you know, where we have access.
Yes. I assume you're going to take laptop computers.
We're going to take what?
Laptop computers.
Oh, yes. We're going to take lots and lots of computers and servers, and we will have a satellite uplink. We will be offloading or streaming files to undisclosed locations around the world, storing the digital data as we go.
Yeah. And here's something else of interest to you. The United States has discovered that there's a satellite that stays in a stationary orbit on both poles. And guess what? It don't belong to nobody.
Who do they belong to?
Inner Earth inhabitants.
And do these satellites orbit the Earth, or are they geosynchronous?
They are stationary at both poles. They remain
well,
at both poles.
How do they stay in place? What altitude are they at?
I couldn't tell you. I wouldn't know, but I was told that there was two satellites that the space shuttles made contact with that were not ours. And there weren't any other governments to speak of. But they did have the Atlantean symbols on them.
Interesting. I'm wondering if they're geosynchronous, they've got to be out 23,000 miles, but it's almost impossible to be geosynchronous unless you're lined up pretty much with the equator. So how do they put a satellite into position above the North Pole when it's not in orbit? It's just sitting there stationary.
Yeah, I know.
I know. We don't have technology to do that.
No, we don't. We surely don't. In the interior, they have medical knowledge that would blow the minds of any medical doctors down up here. There is no disease down there at all. There is no sickness of any kind. After you make this monumental journey, you're going to, how would I put this? In essence, you're going to destroy scientific knowledge about the Earth that's been accepted for hundreds of years.
Well, it's not that we're really going to destroy anything. What we're going to do
I don't mean destroy. I mean that it's going to prove a lot of science wrong.
Well, that's okay. That's what science does all the time.
Right. And your journey is going to do just that. It's going to all these books about how the makeup of the Earth and that it's a solid core and nickel and all this molten lava is not right, and you're going to prove it when you get up there.
Well, that's what we're hoping to do. You know, science is all about discovery, and we are not only not shying away from the discovery, we're kind of looking forward to it. We're definitely looking forward to it. And what we see here is a way to really open the imagination, open the possibility that not only is there a place of refuge anciently and maybe even modern day, but there's also the possibility that, well, the real possibility, that there are other races living on this planet besides the human race.
Absolutely.
And, you know, once we do that, once we prove that, you know, I went and saw Journey to the Center of the Earth this weekend. And
okay. It
was basically a kid's movie. It was not very well directed. I will say that the location shots were done about as well as they could be done. I didn't find any bloopers there. But it was barely entertaining. Barely entertaining.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
And I thought, how fantastic is going to be when the film starts, and we bring back and produce for this expedition above the Arctic Circle, when the narrator comes on and says, everything you are about to see is real. There are no special effects. Nothing has been digitized. This is actually what happened. It is true.
Absolutely.
And then have people watch it. Now, that is going to be fantastic.
Oh, yes. When you see butterflies that have wingspans of 12 to 13 feet across, or dragonflies that are 6 feet long, or, God, what are spiders? Huge spiders. But the thing about it is, all the animal life, as well as insects, the large ones, of course, they all have the capacity of telepathy. All of them.
That's interesting.
And very interesting, because speech is not necessary there. If we were to be able to, well, see, the reason a lot of people up here, most people up here, can't communicate telepathically is because they're so caught up and so indoctrinated through higher education and religion and all this that it clogs the mind and it hinders the mind and it limitates the mind to the point where you just can't concentrate long enough in order to open your mind enough to speak in telepathy.
Well,
down there, it's just the opposite. There's no distractions to speak of that would, you know, clog your mind from being creative or from allowing yourself to be able to communicate one with another's mind. And they do it there all the time.
So not much room for dishonesty down there, because...
What's dishonest? They don't have any dishonesty.
You can't hide your thoughts.
There's no such thing as private property. There's no such thing as poor and rich. Everything is held in common. Their belief system is total and complete harmony with the earth, with nature, with each other. There is no such thing as war, and never will be.
Well, that sounds fantastic.
Yes, it is.
I'm completely open to it.
Oh, believe me. If I'm able to go on this journey with you, which I hope I can, to me, it's going to be a going home for me. Basically, I'm going home, and I'm coming back because I believe my true origin is there. I was adopted as a child. No one knew from where I came from. Me and my sister, we were in an orphanage in Kentucky, Glasgow, Kentucky, or something like that. There's a Glasgow there, right? In Kentucky?
Yes.
Okay.
Coming from to you from deep beneath the earth in Kentucky,
yes,
right now.
Pardon me?
From deep beneath the earth in Kentucky right now.
Uh-huh.
That's where we're coming to you from.
Oh, well, yeah. All right, you're in Kentucky. I'm saying... No, me and my sister were in an orphanage in Kentucky when we were adopted.
Right.
But, of course, when we were adopted, we didn't speak as we're speaking now. We were twins, so we had the capability of telepathy. We talked to each other's mind. And we hardly ever spoke with our lips or anything like that because it wasn't necessary. And being twins, it's been found that even twins up here have the capability to communicate with one another without speaking. And that being twins, that's a common occurrence. And it was the same way with me and my sister. We spoke in telepathy all the time. It wasn't until after we got adopted that we found it necessary to communicate as we're communicating now, speaking. But the my sister was, an event took place when we were young that took her life. And
oh, I hate to hear that.
Had to do with the military. You see, we had the ability not only to communicate with each other, but we had to communicate with the animal kingdom. So we could talk to the animals, they could talk to us. Call us Doolittle if you want. But, but we had that capability. And we also had the capability to heal others just by touching them with our healing power that's within us. Everyone has the power of healing, but they just don't know it and don't know how to use it. Even the Bible talks about that. Jesus talks about that. He said, "Marvel not what I do, for greater things shall you do." That's exactly what he meant. In Mark, the 16th chapter, says, "And these signs will follow those who believe they can do it. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." We can do this. We have this ability. Everyone has it. They just don't know how to use it. And I was taught when I was in the interior as a child, they instructed me on how to tone it and how to utilize it and how to make it grow in more intensity. And I've been able to do it ever since I was a child.
Goodness.
Which is really remarkable in itself. So.
Well, in our next hour, we're going to put a little bit of that ability to work.
Okay.
What we are going to do in the next hour, we don't usually do. In fact, I don't think we've ever done it on this program before. What we are going to do is we're going to ask you, if you're open-minded to it, to having you make contact with some of the inner earth beings and let us know, well, answer some questions and let us know what's going on down there and how it is that our modern society is going to interact with them, and most importantly, how the Inner Earth Expedition next year is going to be greeted and how should we prepare. So we will cover that when we come back after these messages.
All right, I'll have Zola to come through. He's the spokesman for the inner world.
All right, you prepare for about 60 seconds or so, and we'll be back after these messages.
Okay, cool.
The space shuttle fleet is very soon going to be retired. No other spacecraft in history has advanced the world more than this fleet. I wanted a way to keep that memory alive in my home, so I went to the space store and ordered a 25-inch model of the Space Orbiter. People who have seen it always comment on the incredible attention to detail in this model. I think if you know someone who loves the space program, want to get them a gift that they will never forget, you should visit the space store at X Squared Radio. Just click on the X Squared Radio on the Space Store banner at X Radio, and you can shop for gifts that your grandkids or children will never forget. One of the things we've learned from our many emails that we get is that there are many listeners to this program who are educators. Well, we have recently added a great affiliate for you. The Academic Superstore is the place where you can buy software, neat tools and gadgets, and even supplies such as calculators and iPod peripherals at huge discounts. I'm talking 75% off what you would spend in the retail store or even on eBay. All you have to do is click the Academic Superstore banner at X Squared Radio and start saving. Also, want to let you know, the Horizon Project, which, as you know, we helped film back in the early part of 2006 with our good friends at Intuitive Resources, Brent Miller and his great production-minded son, at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. This was a film that was received very well when it first came out, then it kind of went dormant for a while. A couple of weeks ago at the Ramta School of Enlightenment, the Horizon Project was given out, multiple copies of it, to students to watch, because Ramtha, as you know, a 35,000-year-old being that comes to Earth via a very unique and very special channeler known as Jay-Z Knight, has said that the Horizon Project is probably one of the most important examination of future events in the world today. But there is a reason that you should visit this website soon. And I can't give you all the details here, but I can tell you that this DVD, it's a part of a six-part series, is available. And if you want to buy it, you can go to X Squared Radio, go down to the bottom and click on the Horizon Project banner. You'll get to see a trailer of it. You'll know what it's about. Pick up this film and watch it. There is no doubt it will be airing on the History Channel or Discovery Channel or even Science Channel, but you need the uncut version with all the bonus material. So trust me, it may be one of the most important video purchases you'll ever make. Click on the Horizon Project banner at X2 Radio, x2-radio.com today. Watch that film. You'll be aware of things that are coming. Also, our friends down at NRG Resources, this is the most incredible product I've ever used, let me tell you. They've introduced a new engine oil technology. I use it in my diesel pickup. We use it in bearings all over the plant. We shipped 15 shipping containers to Russia to be used by a drilling crew that's drilling the deepest hole in the world, over 40,000 feet deep. TVT is the future of lubrication. It is the industry's best environmentally friendly oil additive that not only increases fuel mileage, and by the way, this is documented in a recent school bus test that we did, it increased mileage an average of 11%. It will save this school system almost $22,000 in gasoline in the next school year. It reduces engine, gearbox, and transaxle wear to nothing. The other brands fail anti-friction testing. And I can mention the other brands. We're talking Slick 50, Duralube. These fail the test, the standard ANSI test, in less than 10 minutes under these testing conditions. TVT went more than 24 hours in the test, and still it did not fail. So get tomorrow's technology today by visiting the online store at X Squared Radio at x2-radio.com. And pick up some TVT 24/7 engine oil energizer. You will not be sorry. You don't have to add this every oil change, every other oil change, and your car engine and your transaxle and your vehicle will last forever. We have well over 500 million miles on this engine oil energizer and not lost a single engine, not one. The Russian railroad swears by this. So this is the stuff you need to pick up. It doesn't take much, less than 3% by volume. We're going to send you a 12-ounce bottle, new in the box. Go to X Squared Radio, click on the online store, and pick that up for yourself. It will be available in stores. We're trying to get it out to you early. We're trying to bring you the best technology to help conserve fuel and help lower your living costs. We're also going to bring you some energy ideas in coming weeks, so stay tuned. All right, our guest tonight is Colonel Billy Woodard. In our last hour, we were talking about conditions leading us to believe that the Earth might be hollow, some evidence that might support that. In the last part of the hour, we alluded to the idea that not only is there life in the void, in the hollow of the Earth, but it is not necessarily microbial. It's complex. And we're not talking about fish and birds only. We're talking about intelligent races of beings that live in the inner earth, and they're not primitive. So what we're going to attempt to do this hour, and by the way, our phone lines are open, but I ask that you have some courtesy while we're doing this particular part of the experiment tonight. Refrain from your phone calls. As soon as we're done with the experiment, you can call in and you can ask questions. All the phone lines are open, but we may not answer the call if Colonel Billy here is deep in communication. So let's see if we can abide by those rules, and we'll make this very interesting. Billy, are you there?
Indeed, beloved master.
Okay, to whom am I speaking?
You are speaking with what is termed Zora.
And where do you reside?
Z-O-R-A. I am what is termed as from the Poseid in the interior world.
And the interior world, is it completely insulated from the surface world, or are there openings?
You have openings in many places upon your surface world. You have what is termed the Superstition Mountains in your Arizona. You have what is termed the pyramid in Egypt. You have what is termed the Himalayan Mountains. You have what is termed Mount Ararat in Turkey. You have what is termed as Paducah, Kentucky. There are caves there that go in, as it is. You have what is termed as the one in Paducah is the one that was a entity was taken in. A book was put out. You term it Edendorfa. The I am. He was blinded because he was what is termed of the Masons. And he was in the Rosicrucians. They blinded him and they took him forth into the hollow interior of the planet, never to return because of the secrets that he revealed to the layman or to the Gentiles or to the common folk. Now, you have what is termed Mount Shasta. Mount Shasta, Kilos, or Talos, whichever you wish to say. It's a great city, one of the last remnants of the Lemurian continent that submerged years ago, many thousands of years ago. That was my hometown. People of Lemuria. Yes?
These access points are points where inner Earth travelers come to the surface world for various reasons. Yes. Are any of these openings readily accessible to surface dwellers to access the inner world, or are these areas guarded somehow?
They are guarded, but you must understand, the people from the city of Kilos, they guard their city quite well. If you were to ascend the mountain of Mount Shasta, and you would go to the upper Panther Meadow, as you approach a stone wall, it would look like a solid wall of rock. But yet, it is deceived. It is like a holographic image. By walking into the stone wall, it will open for you if you are of a harmonious and highly meditative state of mind. You cannot enter if you have any thoughts of malice, any thoughts of what is termed as exploiting their city. They would know if you were ready to enter their world, into their city, just as we will know
if you are ready to enter upon your arrival at the doorway of the north.
Now, the doorway of the north is, from what I understand, a main entrance. It's not something that's accessible by just anyone, because for hundreds of thousands of years, it's been sealed off by ice, and it is constantly covered with clouds, so it can't be seen from space very effectively, although I have seen X-ray photography from space that shows clearly an opening. Are we going to be able to approach this opening?
Let me say something to you. What is termed as you go due north upon your journey, travel due north, a passageway of thin ice will, well, thin ice in your reckoning would be anywhere from 5 to 6 to 10 feet thick. That's thin. But for an icebreaker especially, the one you are taking. But go due north from there. And as you travel due north, you spoke of, in one of your treatises, about Arctic explorers seeing a mountain range that wasn't there. It wasn't there. It was a holographic image that was given to let them see a barrier. But people that are of a noble character, speaking of yourself and the ones you are going to have with you, must be of a harmonious nature, strictly and completely harmonious. Meditation is very important. No weapons of any sort can accept it. No anything that has to do with how would you put this? To exploit our world would not be accepted.
Well, I believe you're going to come.
You gain entrance by trying. You will see a great wall when you get where you're going. You will put your hand upon it, it will open for you. When you are saying that you cannot see our entrance from space or from satellite, you can, if we want you to. That is
right.
We are the ones that put the cloud cover. We are the ones that put the mountains that are not there. We are the ones that guard the entrance. We do not want your government in there because they are not ready to receive blessings that we are ready to bestow upon you. However, you...
Are they getting ready?
However, you, your journey, your monumentality to the polar opening, are ready. Select our crew, your team very carefully. Screen them very carefully. Make sure there are none that are going to hinder you upon your arrival. And I believe you understand what I mean.
Well, one of the things that we've tried to do in assembling our board, and the board of directors are of one mind on this, is that we must maintain the highest consciousness possible with our group. And this includes the scientists, the filmmakers, the historians, the record keepers, and even the exopolitical people that we're bringing with us to make sure that our communication protocols are kept. All of these people have to maintain the highest possible consciousness. It is our mission, and you tell me if this is, if it's in alignment with what you're expecting. Our mission is to put the right group with the right consciousness in the right place at the right time to make contact with intelligent life, if possible, in the interior of the Earth.
Indeed. If you took a journey to Washington, to a meeting place, Trout River, you had an incident occur to you. People that were behind you would see news, talk, and things of this nature. They would be planted in your mind because of the journey.
So,
you were meant,
was there
you
something
were meant to receive this?
Well, I'm trying to keep up with that last communication. Could you repeat that again? You said something about an experience in Washington. To what were you referring?
You went to India, Washington.
Yes.
A person who has to communicate and has ability to have a ship here and disappear.
Yes.
And there. And you were hit with a beam. That's
yes.
An implantation beam, if you will. It was directly because of the journey you were about to partake in.
Do you know who that being was? Can you tell me who that being was?
Which being was this?
Does the being that communicated with me in Washington have a name?
Oh, that would have been Ashtar.
Ashtar?
Ashtar.
That's very interesting. That's indeed. Very interesting indeed. I respect that you're communicating with me in English.
Indeed.
I have received some communications that are not in English, and I don't know what they mean, and I've talked to linguists. They cannot describe the language to me nor the roots of it. I'm going to say a phrase to you. If you don't know what it means, that's fine. It's just part of my investigation because I'm trying to find out what the heck this means. The phrase is, Ish Ishta Noete. I don't know what it means, but I hear it a lot. And I don't know what is trying to be said to me.
Say it again.
Ish Ishta Noah De.
That is the ancient language of the Lemurians.
Well, that makes complete sense. That makes complete sense.
And what you are being told is prepare for enlightenment.
Because this always precedes a long conversation, which I apparently have in that language, but I never recorded it. I don't know. I just don't know what's being said. However,
prepare yourself for enlightenment is what is being said.
Wow, that's pretty incredible.
Indeed. Now, you wish to know about your son?
Sure, I want to know.
It is light, dense in matter, in thought. It is light. It is not what is termed as radioactivity. It is light. thought. Your sun is hollow. Your sun has a central intelligence as well. Does this surprise you?
No, it's not surprising. I do know that the we do pretty much know that the sun rotates every 28 days. We also know that it has a solid surface, and the surface is laced with all kinds of magnetic anomalies, some of which appear as sunspots from here. But the surface of the sun is visible. We do see it rotating. But it's pretty clear that the sun is not completely solid.
Correct. You have beings, what is termed in the hollow interior of this planet, from the sun. They would be termed as the blue race.
Interesting. Very interesting.
They are short in stature. But they're up on the sun.
Must be difficult to get to travel away from the sun. Once you get to the surface, it gets pretty darn warm.
But not at the polar opening.
That might be very possible. I noticed that at the poles of every planet, Saturn, Jupiter, Venus, there is an area of radically different temperature that appears to be an opening into the planet. Same thing with our planet. Although at the Antarctic, there is a lot of militarization of that area, and the ice is quite thick, several thousand feet thick. But at the Arctic now, the ice is very thin, and there is not much militarization at all because the northern area, the polar area, is largely at sea, on the ocean. It's not on solid land as it is in the Antarctica.
Well, this might surprise you. In the Antarctic, once you go into or start to enter into the hollow, the opening at the south, the gradual opening, you will suddenly see open water before you enter.
Uh-huh.
The same applies to the south. You see what is termed as the great ice shelf around, which looks as to be thousands of feet high. That is an holographic image.
Wow.
The only reason you see that is because we do not want you to see the entrance in the south. We do not want the military to enter into that opening. So, we put forth a barrier that they think they cannot cross.
Very interesting.
Indeed.
So, when you cloak this, I know we talked to, well, we researched individuals who tried to access this area by sled, from the ice. And what happened was they got to a certain area and realized that there was a mountain range in their way, and they just didn't see the point in continuing with their equipment toward the mountain range because they knew there was no way they could get over it. Was the mountain range real or was it a holographic image?
It was not there. What they were
seeing was doesn't show up on any map.
No, it's not there. It is not a physical form. It is a projection, if you will. Another reason they did not proceed or was not allowed to proceed was because they were not of the right mind.
Interesting. Because it doesn't show up on any map.
They were not of a harmonious nature.
Understood.
It was true they were explorers. They were explorers. This is true. But they were not ready to know.
No, they weren't ready.
They were not ready. On the other hand, your journey, your expedition, has been foreseen for many, many years. And it is time for the truth to be known.
Well, that is extremely interesting.
We attempted in 1947 by allowing Admiral Richard Evelyn Byrd to enter our domain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I must correct one thing upon his journal, the lost journal of Admiral Byrd. In the original text, upon where it was talking about the statement that was made, I do not see the sun any longer.
Uh-huh.
It was not a sun he was referring to. It was the moon, not the sun. For the darkened time was at hand upon the Arctic. This one is nothing but darkness. Yet there is a moon.
Very interesting.
So, that portion was incorrect. And it was done purposely to throw you off. But, you know the truth. It was the moon, not the sun, he no longer saw. Now, in the interior, we have no night.
Right.
It is the twilight. It is of a twilight nature. A soft glow. Our sun is more of a, what is put, reddish orange in color.
Uh-huh.
It is not a fusion. It is not radioactive. It is, as you spoke before, photosynthesis. It creates a subtropical temperature of 73 degrees constant.
Now I know that if the Earth is constructed the way that we hypothesize, that there is some gap between the crust and the core. We hypothesize it's probably somewhere between 400 and 1,000 miles, maybe a little less than that. Our atmosphere above the surface upon which we live right now is about, for all intents and purposes, 3 miles thick. Above that, it gets pretty thin. We fly as high as 8 miles, and a space shuttle flies at about 200 miles above the surface. However, on the interior of the Earth, there is no vacuum. It's all air from the core all the way to the crust. So if we have an atmosphere that's anywhere between 400 and 1,000 miles thick, what kind of life forms live in the body of water that's in the form of vapor that floats around on the inside of the surface?
Animal life. Well, you have what is termed in your surface, and in Scotland you have what is termed as Loch Ness, correct?
Yes.
That Loch Ness is bottomless. If you were to travel all the way through, Loch Ness empties out into the inner world.
Well, that would be very difficult to do because the water pressure would crush any ship that tries to make that journey. We can only go down to about 12,000 feet. With craft that we have on this planet, and then the water pressure becomes so intense that it would literally crush anything that we send down. However, the hypothesis is at the poles, the gravity is far less than it is in other areas on the planet because the crust is thinner. And our theory is that the gravity actually centers in the crust rather than just in the core. So it that would be possible to make a trip.
That is correct. Just as you are going around the curvature, the Arctic Ocean, as you will, we get to the point, the halfway point around the ocean, if you were to dive boat, around halfway around the entrance of the opening, the gravity is so great, pulling down the ocean so great, that you can take a cup and dip it into the ocean. The first 6 feet of water will be fish.
Mm-hmm.
Pulls the salt down so it is not salty.
Mm. So when we're, well, one of the things that we're going to be faced with, if things turn out the way that we theorize, is this 450-foot-long, 23,000-ton icebreaker is going to come up to an area that looks like a hole. It looks like it's a river that goes down into the sea. We're going to use our helicopter to fly over it. We're going to try and film down inside of it. We've got a little boat on the boat that carries 36 passengers. We're going to try and motor around it and take some water samples. But our plan is not to go down into the opening using this ship. We have an agreement with the shipping company that we won't take the ship anywhere that we can't return from. And I doubt seriously that you all want a nuclear-powered vessel in your midst.
No,
we do not. Is there the possibility that shuttlecraft can be brought to us to take us on a tour of the inner Earth, things that you will let us see?
We are an open people. You will be allowed to enter our universities. You will be allowed to have total and complete freedom within our world. We are not a society. We wish for you to know it all. We welcome you and your team to come forth. We eagerly await your arrival. When you get to a portion where you are going to lift up from the tip in the helicopter,
mm-hmm.
we will send forth aeroships to welcome you and to guide you.
Well, that's what we're looking for.
Indeed.
That's what we're looking for.
Have this. Colonel Woodard mentioned you were bringing computers.
Mm-hmm.
We get close to your destination. You will start receiving communication from us through your computers.
Well, that's what we want to do. We want to film everything. Not that we're trying to do a big expose, but we feel like the time is right to introduce other races, other beings, other civilizations that live on this planet with the surface dwellers, so that we can change everything, so that we can bring people to the realization that not only are we not alone on this planet, but there are people that are here to help.
You have light everywhere. In your entire Milky Way are inhabited. All of them. There's light everywhere.
Okay.
For you to think that you are the only ones to be pious or pompous, you would not want to do this because there's life everywhere.
Right.
All you need to do is open your eyes and see it. When you have what you termed, when you have what you have termed your astronauts that walked upon your moon.
Yes.
They did not just see rocks and craters. They saw a city on the moon. It was not televised because they did not want, NASA did not want the general public to know this. The moon is hollow as well. The city is on the dark side of the moon. And your astronauts could see the glow of the city from where they were. But they did not want, your governments did not want these pictures to come forth. In many of your media, or your, what is it, magazines, they show pictures. They have shown pictures. Life magazine has shown pictures of Mars,
yes,
pictures of the moon. And you notice there are several frames missing.
Yes.
Those missing frames were showing cities.
Huh.
That's why you did not see them. Your government does not want you there, does not want you to know. They want to keep you under a thumb shelter. If they were to, how do you put, if they were to allow you to know the truth, that they are not in control of their skies, it would cause mass panic. They are afraid of us, and they shoot us, and our ships. This is,
I see.
This is not necessary. This is not necessary. Why must your race on the surface, why must they war amongst themselves? Governments against governments. This is not the way it should be. That is why we have hesitated in communicating with you, with your surface world, until now. You have seen in your night skies our lights. You have seen our ships in your night skies. But very soon, after your tradition has had its run its course, we will again attempt to communicate, but not with the government officials. Our communication will be with the population, with the civil population. When you found that it is futile, worthless, to try to communicate our existence to your governments, they will not listen. They do not want to know. They are fearful. We believe that people are the opposite.
I understand the governments are fearful because they kind of want to know that they have sovereign control of the planet. But, you know, also, many of the people that I've talked to, they're also fearful. They feel like
of
we
course.
Live on the surface of the planet and that some killer asteroid or some nuclear war or some global fuel shortage or some, deadly disease is going to sweep the planet, that there's some terrible conspiracy out there that to reduce the population of the planet to 500 million people so that they can enjoy the wide open spaces without all the crowds. The surface people, the normal average Joe, is also fearful, and they want to know, is there a place of refuge that they can go to get away from the oppression that they feel on the surface? My question to you is,
yes.
Are you ready to have 7 billion people from the surface go racing toward all these openings into the inner Earth in order to escape the calamities that are about to come?
understand this, your peoples. Those that are ready for a change in their thought patterns, those that are ready for to live in peace and harmony, will be welcome into our domain. However, we from the interior world would not allow for your world to annihilate it. It will not be allowed to happen. If we were to do so, that would cause us problems as well, because we have two great openings in the north, one in the north and one in the south. Radioactivity would reach there eventually. We cannot have this. This will not be allowed.
Right.
We have the capability to render all weapons of war inert and harmless. And we would not hesitate to do so if your governments decided to have war of that nature. We would do exactly that. We have the capability to split your ocean and cause our to allow our ships to come in and go out. One of the areas is called the Bermuda Triangle. That is a doorway that allows our ships to go in and out, unobserved, the triangle. It creates a vortex. And anything that is caught in that vortex, whether it be ship or whether it be plane, is caught up and taken in. You have other areas besides what is termed as Bermuda Triangle. You have what is termed as the triangle off the coast of Japan. You have one in you have one in Mexico. You have one off the coast of Hawaii. You have one off the coast of India. There are several places. They are quiet zones. Many creatures have been seen. Prehistoric pterodactyls have been seen, sighted in these quiet areas in Mexico, in Arizona. That's because when they are opened, whatever happens to be at the origin of the opening is allowed to exit. Whether it be a bird, prehistoric reptile, or whatever.
I understand.
They are not stopped. They are not stopped. It is the same with the mammoths. They wander and get lost in the ice or in the rivers, and they are drawn out to the frigid waters of the Arctic, and they are frozen, quick frozen. That's why they have found mammoths with vegetation, fresh vegetation in the bellies.
Interesting.
Your earth is hollow. Your earth is hollow. Do not think any otherwise.
Well, we appreciate the communication tonight. We have about 60 seconds before we're out of time, and I've tried to let you talk freely. I've got a lot more questions, and we'll probably ask more off the line, off the air. But I wanted the people listening tonight to be able to hear you directly, unabridged by me, so that you could describe what it is that you see, what conditions we're to meet, and interestingly enough, how aware you are that, we're planning to make an expedition there. I greatly appreciate your time.
We will welcome you when you arrive. As I have said before, you will become students. You will be enlightened. You will be taught. You will be taught how to heal your own bodies. You will be taught how to heal others. You will be taught how to communicate by telepathy. All of this will be given to you freely. We will give you, upon your return journey, we will give you medical breakthroughs that will cease all of your diseases, your AIDS, your cancer, your emphysema, your muscular dystrophy, all of the things upon your planet that are causing destruction upon your planet. We will show you and give you the key, and we will give you the antidote for them to bring back with you.
Well, we're excited about learning about all this. It is an important time to be alive. It's an important time to be involved in this expedition.
Indeed.
It humbles me to the best to be involved in this, and I definitely want to honor it. I want to live up to it. I want to be able to unite the clans and not be like one who would throw out any data, criticize any particular input. So we welcome it all, and we will take it as it has integrity and as it contributes to the mission of discovery. We appreciate you coming on the program so much tonight. I can't tell you how much. And
If you would like me to speak further other nights, I would be more than happy to do so.
Well, I may call you back off the air, but I have to give the time now back to my producer so that he can bring on the next host. So
indeed.
That's it for us tonight, but we will possibly have you on again, and we appreciate the participation of Colonel Billy Woodard, and we appreciate your participation as well.
Indeed. Peace and harmony and joy and abundant life be unto you.
Peace and joy unto you as well.
I bid you farewell, and I will talk with you soon.
All right. Thank you and good night.
Indeed.
Well, there you have it, Earth Explorers. That is never been done before on X Squared Radio. We wanted to bring that to you tonight. Direct communication with an inner Earth leader who has knowledge of the expedition. One is about to take place next year. Believe it if you want to. I would encourage you to have an open mind, because communication and truth comes from all kinds of sources. And remember, it has been our pleasure to have you here with us this evening. Please tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific time, we provide the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. And if you're not getting all 3 hours, you send us the call letters of your radio station affiliate, and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Look for the good in people, and try to make it grow a little every day. And before long, you will change the planet. This is X Squared Radio, saying peace, Earth Explorers.